I want to start out with one thing. Let's all bow our heads, and I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, to everybody, let's say the Lord's Prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Done that for two reasons. One, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Okay? So, first of all, we know who taught that prayer, Joe. And it doesn't matter what words I say, I'm always going to pay specific attention to the ones Jesus says. Amen? My prayers hold a lot of weight. Vicky, I know that as a child of God, he hears my prayers. But I really, when Jesus teaches us how to pray, I think we ought to incorporate that prayer in our lives. But how many of you people, you folks, have been saying that all your life? Have you familiar with the Lord's Prayer, been saying it since you was a kid, right? Do you know you were praying a prayer about what we're talking about tonight? Did you even realize it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to talk about the millennial reign tonight, the millennium, if you will. And it's a topic that I was talking to Brother Dave before we got started here while we was eating. And I asked him, and I'll ask you guys as well, I don't know, when is the last time you've heard a teaching on the millennial reign? Okay, there you go. And how often do you hear it? Okay. So that being said, it's a topic that really isn't discussed a whole lot. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about it. There's a lot of, obviously, if you have never heard of it, you just don't know about it, okay? So there's a lack of understanding, not just misunderstanding. There's a lack of understanding. So and when you begin to talk about the book of Revelation, like we've talked about for the last 5 weeks, there are certain topics that come up, and there's certain points of view that comes up, and theories, and all those things, and as I've said up here for 5 weeks, all I can go by, Brother Joe, is what's in the Bible. Now, we can sit and say, well, that says that, so, you know, it could, yeah, I could see that happening, Brother Joe, or whatever, you know, that's possible. All we can go by is what the Lord gives us specifically to say, yeah, that's for sure going to happen, that's for sure going to happen. But as we was talking before we got started, there is more scripture about the millennial reign in the Bible, according to scholars, than there are the topics of heaven, hell, and salvation. Think about that. So if the Bible talks about it a lot, I think we owe it to try to understand it. Make sense? So that's what we're going to do our best to do tonight. You're going to hear some things that might blow your mind. I don't know. I don't know what to say. And then again, I want to encourage, as Brother Dave has the microphones up here, if you have a question or point of view or anything you want to share, just raise your hand and we'll ask it in a microphone so that the recording can pick it up and we ain't just leaving people hanging, not knowing what's going on, okay? But why is there a millennial reign? What is the millennial reign? All those things is what we're going to talk about tonight. How it's going to be. Why is it going to be that way? Things like that is really what we're going to get into. But when's it start? When's the millennial reign begin? Well, as we've been talking about the book of Revelation, Brother Joe came up and asked me, he was on vacation last week. He said, well, what chapter are we at? You like that? Because he missed last week, wasn't able to be here. And I said, we're in chapter 20, book of Revelation, chapter 20, millennial reign. So what happens is, everything that we've talked about in about the book of Revelation, the rapture taking place and the judgments being poured out and the two witnesses, the 144,000, the false prophet, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, the other bowls of wrath being poured out, the vials of wrath being poured out, all these things that we've talked about culminate at the end of the tribulation period, at the 70th week of Daniel, as it's coming to an end, as we've talked about. And it ends in one bright spot for Jesus. And what that bright spot is, in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, there's something happens. And when it happens after the marriage supper, which takes place in heaven after the Bema judgment. And at the Bema, by the way, rewards are handed out. People get crowns. They receive rewards from the Lord or lose rewards. Okay? So in other words, what do you mean lose rewards? If you're in heaven, if you've been raptured out, folks, you're already saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation for eternity. But you're going to lose reward or you're going to gain reward. Okay? How do you lose reward? If the Lord told you to do something and you were disobedient, that's how you lose reward. So as Christians, we have a responsibility. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, guess what? Obedience is better than? Amen. So if God puts it on your heart to witness to somebody, it's important to be that and be that witness. There will be different crowns that is given out on that day, okay? But it all culminates when Jesus comes back. The Bible says he's going to mount a white horse in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, Vicki. And he's going to come. And the Bible says as far as the Antichrist and the false prophet go, they'll be destroyed with the brightness of his coming. So in other words, all the deceptions that's going on the planet, all the evil, all the calamities, all the confusion is going to end in one swift moment. In Matthew chapter 24, if you was here in Sunday school, as we talked about, as the lightning shines from one end of the sky to the other, that's how his coming is going to be. So in other words, Jesus said in Matthew 24, if they say I'm in the desert, believe them not. If they say I'm in a secret chamber, don't believe them. There'll be many false prophets. But when I come back, it's going to be as bright as it is for the lightning from one end of heaven to the other. That's what Jesus says. So in chapter 19, at the Battle of Armageddon, when all the nations are gathered together in the Valley of Megiddo, Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. And the armies of heaven are going to follow him. That means, guess what? If you have never rode a horse or can't ride a horse, you get to ride a horse in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation. Okay, but here's the thing. You don't have to have a sword. You don't have to have a weapon whatsoever because Jesus is going to do it all. He's going to speak it, Vicki. And that's going to be it. It's going to be over. And the Bible then says in Matthew chapter 25 that he's going to go and he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. Those that were good to Israel on one side, those that were bad to Israel on the other side, those that had received the mark are going to be cast into hell. Those that did not are going to live on into the millennial reign of Christ. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, okay? That's what we're going to discuss tonight. I really kind of wanted to teach on the second coming a little bit, but knowing this was the last night, I really wanted to get on this topic because I believe most people have heard about the second coming at Armageddon when he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives and the Bible says it cleaves in two. So there's going to be a very different earth that Jesus inhabits than what these people that have survived the tribulation period, Brother Joe, are used to. Now let's keep in mind as we read this and as we talk about this tonight, what I want to try to encourage you to do is try to imagine about all the things we've talked in the last several weeks of how bad the earth is going to be at this time. They're still looking for food and water. All those things, the calamities and the meteorites and the bitter wormwood and all these things that we've talked about over the last several weeks, it paints a pretty grim picture for those that are still here. In other words, it ain't going to be the land of plenty. The Bible says that that judgment is pronounced on Babylon, so the economic system and the religious system is overthrown. How's it overthrown? By Jesus. It starts falling apart. When he comes back, Brother Joe, on the white horse, what do they call him? King of kings and Lord of lords. You ever wonder why they call him King of all kings and Lord of all lords? It's just not a catchy phrase, even though it is a catchy phrase. That's not why he's called that, Terry. He's called that because he's coming back to rule with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible says in 12th chapter book of Revelation. I was sharing with Pastor Walker and several others earlier this week. I was talking to a young man one time. It's been several years ago. I'm not going to say where he was from or who he is. And we're both brothers in the Lord, and we were just having a good old time talking about Jesus outside church walls. We might have been at a ball field. I believe we was at a ball field, Lindsay. And we were just talking, having a good time, and just praising God. And he's telling me good stories, and I was lifting the Lord up. We was just having a good time in Jesus right there at the ball field. And I remember saying the term, when he comes back, he's going to rule with a wrought iron. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and went on. Didn't even pay no more attention, really, what I said about the rod of iron. Didn't really pay no much attention to it. And we just kept on talking. About 5-10 minutes later, he comes back to me and said, "Now hold on, what do you mean, rule with a rod of iron?" I said, "Well, the Bible says that Jesus one day is going to rule with a rod, R-O-D, of iron." He said, "Where's that at?" And I told him. I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "When he come the first time as a babe in a manger, did he rule with a rod of iron? Was he a king when he came the first time?" "No, he died on a cross. He was the lamb that was slain for our sins." And when we get to heaven, when it's all said and done, Vicky, the final, everything's over, is he going to have to rule with a rod of iron? No, we're all going to be believers. He ain't going to force me to do anything, Lindsay. I do what he wants me to do now. So in other words, that tells me that there's a period of time that he is going to have a government set up. A time period when, yes, there are followers of Jesus, but there are also going to be people that have a rebellious spirit, whether you realize it or not. And that's why he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. The Bible says, and we'll get into it here in a little bit as we start reading, the Bible says that the nations will be forced to come up to him. Okay, just a little overview. He's going to be, guess what, in Jerusalem. That's where he's going to be. There's going to be a new temple built in Jerusalem during the millennial reign. Ezekiel talks about it a little bit. And Jesus is going to force the nations. They're going to be made to come up to the king. Laws are going to go forth out of Zion. Okay? That's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around. It really is. And the Bible even says this in the book of Zechariah, Joe, that if a nation does not come up for the Feast of Tabernacles, to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, that there will be no rain in their land. That's what it says. Well, let me ask you a question, Susan. That threat has to be in there because there's going to be people do that. So that tells me that even during this time period when Satan is bound for 1,000 years, there's going to be a rebellion in the hearts of men. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And if hopefully it's whetted your appetite. And if you got any questions, please, we want you to take time and ask them, okay? But can I get somebody to volunteer to read for me first? And we'll get into it. Anyone? Got to use a microphone, though. Z? Somebody give Z that mic. Chapter 20. Verses 1 through 6.
"And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen. Six verses in the book of Revelation. Six verses. And out of all six verses, in five of the verses, there's a common word. Did anybody pick up on that common word? It's in five of the six verses. Thousand. Milli. Thousand. In other words, when I was growing up, there was a lack of teaching on this topic often. Whether it was an understanding or didn't want to cause confusion or whatever. I've shared this with several of you, maybe openly, I don't remember. But there was a specific person that I thought very highly of the faith, and I still do. Had nothing to do with this person trying to steer me wrong in any way, shape, or form. But I was a young Christian. And, you know, when you're a young Christian, you don't understand a lot of things in the Bible. And I, at this time, I couldn't get enough of reading it, Tommy. I was just wanting to read Scripture. And I'd start at Matthew, and I'd read all the way through. That's all I knew to do. Because I'd take the advice, and they'd say, start a New Testament, Teddy. Start a New Testament. Starting the Gospels. And I did that. Well, you know what? The last book in the New Testament is the book of Revelation. Well, nobody's told me don't read that. They just said go read the New Testament. And I don't think it's wrong to read the book of Revelation. But as I'm doing that, I get questions. As you can imagine, being a young person, especially in the book of Revelation, a lot of symbolism and stuff of that nature. And I remember going to this brother in the Lord and asking him this question about what we're talking about tonight. And his words were, "Brother, I don't know if I'd be reading Revelation if I was you." You know, and that's fine. He wasn't trying to steer me wrong in any way, shape, or form. You know, he just didn't want me to get confused and things of that nature. But then I asked him about this millennial reign. And his words to me was, he didn't believe in a millennial reign. He didn't believe in a millennial reign. He used the scripture, "A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day." And he tried to symbolize it, is really what it boiled down to. And I remember being a young teenager, and accepted what this brother told me in the Lord. And like I said, I don't think he was trying to do anything wrong, Joe. I think he's with Jesus right now with his heavenly reward. I do. So I'm not putting him down anyway. But I remember as he gave me that, I accepted it being raised like I was raised. I wasn't going to argue with somebody, one of my elders. He wasn't going to try to do anything like that. My dad would have strung me up, you know. But I remember after he walked away, Terry even going, I don't think that's what that means. It didn't fit. That makes sense. It just didn't fit. And so ever since then, I began to try to understand this little bit of scripture the best I could. And it takes time. It takes a lot of digging in scripture to try to get there. I think it's a whole lot easier now than it used to be, which is to testament to my brother in the Lord. Then it's like we shared last week. You know, guys, you got a lot of resources at your fingertips right now that they just did not have. Okay, let's get real about it. We talked about, remember me bringing up how, you know, if you got a assignment from your teacher and you had to do a report on such and such, there might have been one person in the camp that had a book, had a set of encyclopedias. And you had to go to Karen's house and get this, and you prayed that she had the B's because you needed the B. Or whatever, somebody hadn't beat you to it and got to be, or whatever. There wasn't a lot of options, okay? Some of you guys that's a little bit younger, you may not understand that. But I remember that, okay? So we didn't have a lot of things at our fingertips then. So when people didn't really have understanding or didn't teach on it a lot, I don't put that against them at all. How many people remembers the concordance was so big and heavy that if somebody came in your house to rob you, you could kill them with a Bible concordance? It's the truth. You would have to wear a back brace and lift with your legs to pick it up because it was so thick and heavy. Well, now you have it on your phone. You get what I'm saying, okay? So there's a lot of, we've come a long way technology-wise, okay? But this scripture, it says 5 out of 6 verses, 1,000. Okay, 1,000, 1,000. So in other words, you care to put that up there, brother, the timeline? Brother Dave's going to put a timeline up here. He can leave that up there, okay? That just gives you an idea of what we finished up with. The mark of the beast happens, the vials of wrath, religious Babylon is judged, economic Babylon is judged, the marriage supper, the second coming, Megiddo, all those things have wrapped up in the book of Revelation. Now we're at the end, and the millennial reign of Christ is going to happen on this earth. So as we talk about it, what I want you to understand is this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to literally come to this planet that you and I live on, and he's going to rule and reign from this planet in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That is literally what's going to happen. 1,000 years, he's going to, and the biggest question, I was talking to Pastor a little bit today, we was texting, biggest question is, why? Pastor, you care to share what we talked a little bit about on the why with the microphone?
Ted texted me, and we sort of texted him back and forth, and he was talking about the millennial reign and how you'll usually get a lot of questions and things of that nature, and how it's really hard for some people to... The millennial, to me, is probably right next to the Trinity in trying to understand it. It's very, very hard to understand, and I think a lot of people just choose to look at it in a different light because they can't really wrap their mind around the why. And that's what I told Ted. I said, I think if there's anything that really stumps people on the millennial reign, it's simply the question, why would God do that? You know what I mean? Why not just, you know what I mean? Church has already been raptured and all these things happen. Why would he put them through a millennial reign? And then, you know, if Satan's bound for 1,000 years, why would you let that joker out again? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the thing that stumps most people. Why do this? And the why really is the, and I talked about it when we done a little bit of God's plan for man and the dispensations of how God deals with individuals. You can sort of break it up into dispensations, and like the dispensation of innocence when Adam and Eve didn't know sin, and then you after they fell, you got the dispensation of conscience. In other words, God says, you know what to do and you shouldn't do it. And then that's the reason Cain and Abel's story is in the Bible, to teach us that God gave us conscience, but it's that didn't work. All right. Then he gave them the organization of a government to try to get it done through the nation of Israel. They messed it up. Then he said, okay, we'll do a law here. They couldn't follow the law. So he sends Jesus, gives us grace, and, you know, his grace is sufficient, but at the same time, we'll never rule and reign the way that we're supposed to here because we fall short because we're flesh. So he's going to, you know, rapture us, and then we're going to get reward and all that. And then he's going to come back and set up his kingdom here on earth and rule with a rod of iron and show people what it's like for the lion and the lamb to lay down together and all these things, and show them how perfect it can be here on earth. But you're still going to have those that rebel against him. And so it's like he's given us every opportunity, put us in every situation to say, here, you can do it yourself. And every time we mess up. So it's almost like he's giving you enough rope to hang yourself. You know what I mean? Or make you realize, unless I just completely purge the earth and burn it with fire and you know what I mean? Like a new heaven, new Jerusalem, just set the whole thing new again. You're never going to get it right. You're always going to gum it up. And I think that's the why for the millennial reign, is just to prove no matter what he does, as long as we have anything at all as a say in it, it's going to, yeah, as long as we got free will, we're going to mess it up some way. So, I think if you understand that as the why, then you can grab the millennial reign a little bit. I know I could. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to understand why would God do that. But if I understand that he's letting you run all the options to show you that in your flesh you can't do what I need to be done here on earth, no matter how I set you up. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's why the millennial reign takes place, is to prove to us that no matter what, we can't do it as long as we're got a free will and sort of involved in it in that way. So I think if you grab that, then the millennial reign becomes easy to accept, mm-hmm. and not just try to dance around and go, well, it's spiritual, you know what I mean? Like the even the resurrections, I said, blows my mind that some people think that first resurrection is a spiritual resurrection, and like that's us. Mm-mm. Like, I don't know how you spiritualize some of that stuff, mm-hmm. and I know people do, but like, again, if you understand why, then you can understand, okay, you know, and sort of accept that it's going to happen, in my opinion.
Amen.
Anybody got any questions or anything?
And as far, go ahead, Herbie. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
The people that's at the millennial reign, is that the people that's left behind after all the judgment's done?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that all of the Christians that's done with the heaven too?
Okay, that is a great question, and I was getting ready to head that way with perfect timing, perfect segue of going in to talk about what Pastor Walker was talking about people are going to survive the tribulation period, folks. They're going to survive the tribulation period. Verse 4, as Z was reading, says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Hold on. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" That's what Paul said. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world?" That's what Paul said. So in other words, thrones were given, okay? Judgment was given. "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Now, some people will try to explain things away and go, well, that was the people that was martyred. Peter, for example, was martyred, and most of the disciples other than John was martyred. And there's people still being martyred today. You know, I remember several years ago there was a video that went, they cut the heads off, had them on beaches, ISIS or something like that, because they wouldn't renounce Jesus as their Savior. It's still happening today. So there's people that will say, well, that's them. Well, no, if you keep reading the Scripture, if you keep reading that verse, it goes in farther, and it said, "They were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands." That's a pretty specific group of people. That narrows it down pretty good to me. That lets me know that there's going to be some people in the tribulation period, Terry, that do not take the mark of the beast. I mean, I don't think you can over-spiritualize that, guys. That's just me. I'm not being argumentative with nobody. If you don't believe that, that's fine. I still love you. You know what I mean? But I think sometimes we try to over-spiritualize or symbolize the Scripture. When the plain sense of the word makes sense, seek no other reason. It says these are people that did not take the mark of the beast, did not worship his image, and they're there. Okay, so when anybody asks that grand old question that we've talked about for 3 or 4 weeks, will people make it through the tribulation period? Yes, they will. Yes, they will, guys. Right there, it says it. I didn't make it up. It says it. The Bible said that. Teddy Dean didn't have to. You got a question, young man? Okay, I saw your hands up. I'm sorry, I didn't want to overlook you. But those are the people. They survive, as Herbie was asking. They survive, and it says, what does it say about them? "And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Can't get away with that. Now, how do I also know who else is there? Because it was more to your question. Those that's been raptured. I know I'm going to be there. I know you're going to be there. How do I know that? Because Jesus said in the book of Matthew that where I am, there you may be also. So wherever Jesus is at the rapture moment, if Jesus is in heaven, guess what? The church is going to be with Jesus. Jesus comes back at Armageddon, guess where the church is going to be at? At Armageddon, first front row seat on the white horse. That's what I was talking to you about. Even if you don't ride a horse, you can get to ride a horse on that day because Jesus comes back, you come back with him. Then guess what? The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, as Paul said, do you not know that the saints will judge the earth? Okay, how? What do you mean? What do you mean? How many people here know dear saints of God? Maybe they've gone on to be with the Lord. We still got some in this church. And I use this lady as an example. I know Vicky's heard me say this probably 100 times. I think of Joanne Lafferty when I say these things. I think of Joanne, who, if she has a problem, she can't get a hold of the president. If she's got something that she would like to talk about, she can't get a hold of the prime minister of Israel. Right? But she can get a hold of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in prayer. And one of these days when the Lord takes her home, okay, she's going to get a reward for being faithful. Because you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Well, guys, that wasn't just cool words to throw together. She's going to rule over many things. Does that make sense to you? We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. So during this period, as Herbie was asking, Christians are going to be given responsibilities. Okay, the beam of judgment that took place in heaven prior to our arrival at Armageddon, guess what? You will have received rewards in heaven. And you know what that reward is based on? Your faithfulness to Jesus now. So to believe, well, we're saved, we're good to go, that's great. Praise God. Stay saved and you don't have to go to hell. That's good. Praise God. Hey, amen to that. Amen to that. That's the biggie. That's a biggie. That's a big part of it, okay? But you know what? We now are to walk with Jesus every day. He abides in us and we abide in Him. And if we're doing that, guess what? We're going to bear some fruit. And that fruit is what we're going to be judged on, folks. Were you faithful over a few things? Whatever it was, whatever He gave you, could He trust you to carry it out? Because if He does, then guess what? On that beam of judgment up in heaven, you're going to have a lot of rewards. And when I say this, I don't, and I just say this, this right here is Teddy Dean, okay? But maybe He puts Tommy right here as a magistrate or something over this certain land. Why? Because He can trust Tommy to carry out His statutes during the millennial reign. He gives Cheryl this right here. Why? Because He trusts Cheryl to do that job. Because she was faithful over a few things, I'm going to make her ruler over many things. That's what it's all about. The Scripture makes these promises. Why is it going to happen? Yes, part of the God's plan for man. But there's Bible Scripture that has to come to pass. Not one jot or tittle is going to disappear from the Bible, Pastor.
Well, I think Z, did you go ask a question before I talk? Oh, I think, okay. And I think I probably shared this story with you all before. I don't know if everybody's heard it, but about the little lady, and I'm just going to make a point here to, I guess maybe to your point about the millennial reign and really what's going to go on. There was a little lady at the Bible bookstore at one time, you know, I walked in there and Mom was working in there and she said, she's upset. And I said, what's she upset about? She said, the preacher preached that, you know, they were coming back on a white horse one day and all that. And she was totally upset about having to come back to earth. She thought when you went to heaven,
right,
you was done with earth. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
And like, no matter what I told her, you know what I mean? She was like, no. And I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? The Scripture says you're going to come back. And she was like, I don't want to come back and be in that battle and all this. You know what I mean? And I think that's one of the biggest, probably, I don't know how I want to say this or if this is even going to make sense, but I believe that's one of the greatest injustices maybe in the church is that somehow, and it's because we're all selfish in a lot of ways, like we've made heaven this thing that's about us. You know what I mean? Like we sing songs about, I want to rest my feet by the river of life, and you know what I mean, like the great reunion. And I know this is contrary to what most people really enjoy or like to think about, the great family reunion and all those other things and sure. The stuff that we thought about for years. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a big family reunion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's not a rest your feet by the river of life.
Yeah.
It's not those things at all. Like when somebody dies, God don't gain another angel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's so many of those
misconceptions,
goofy things that it's like, that is not what heaven's about. So we make it about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we hear about you're going to go away, but then you're coming back with Jesus because he's got to put some things in order and rule with a rod of iron, it's hard for us to grab that concept of the millennial reign because that's a government here on earth and everything else. And we've thought once we make it to heaven, we're going to hold grandma's hand and eat apples by the river with our feet in the water. You see what I'm saying? It's not about you. It's not about you making it to heaven and getting to enjoy whatever. You do get to enjoy the things of heaven, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is he's going to set things right, and you're going to ride with him and watch him do it. And to Ted's point, you're going to sit in judgment against the angels. Again, and even in my opinion, you're going to be there when the lost are judged.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're going to be witnesses
yep.
against them because it's going to be how can you neglect so great a salvation? So when that person comes up that wasn't saved, one of the greatest witnesses and one of the greatest reasons they can't get out of it, so to speak, is because of the millions of people sitting around that done it.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like if they come up and they're not making heaven and they want to know, well, why didn't I make, you know what I mean? Or make, and they're not going to make excuses and all that. But it's like all of us sitting there takes away their excuse. All these people believe Jesus and made it to heaven. There's not an excuse that you can have. How are you going to escape if you neglect this greatest salvation?
Yes.
And so it's about judgment. It's about God keeping his word.
Righteous
and
judgment.
Him putting the enemy under his feet and destroying it all and starting over with people who believed him and accepted him. It is not about you and some family gathering one day. I'm sorry.
Yes.
But that's my rant there. So, but you know what I mean? I think that's why we struggle with the millennial reign is because we think we got this idea of heaven that's really just not true.
Well, let me try to sum up maybe how you feel. You tell me if I'm wrong. Why is there a millennial reign? The question some people make, why is there a millennial reign? Well, who are you to ask that? Who are you to ask that? Okay? Who are you to question God's word? How do I know what God's word says? I'm going to read it to you. Dave's getting ready to throw a bunch of them up. I'm going to read them in consecutive. Okay? And these all point toward the millennial. So in other words, when I say that, I don't say it that I hate you. Why do you ask this? You know, no, I say this because of this. I believe every word in the Bible is true or will come to pass. Amen? So we're going to talk about Scripture right here. We're going to read Scripture that points to a time that hasn't come. So guess what? What's the one thing God can't do? Lie. So guess what? Everything has to come to pass. And besides, ready for this? Who's the one died on a cross? Who? Well, you're quiet tonight. Do we not know who died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross, amen? Well, guess what? He earned the right to rule and reign. He did, okay? The Bible says this in Luke 1, 32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Question, where did David rule from? Jerusalem. Did he rule in heaven? He ruled on earth. So guess what? He made a covenant with David. They call it the Davidic covenant. That guess what? A seed of David's would always be on the throne. Guess who that is? Jesus. So Jesus has to fulfill that covenant with David and has to fulfill that word that he says that the Son of the Highest, the Lord, shall give him the throne of his father David. So Jesus is going to have to go to Jerusalem, sit on the throne, and rule and reign from Jerusalem. In Psalms 72, verse 8, it says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from river unto the ends of the earth. So guess what? Has he ruled from sea to sea yet? Has he ruled on this earth? Has not. So that tells me it's in the future. Guess what? And it can't be a heavenly kingdom because it's on the earth. Amen? So the word of God has got to be true. It points toward a time that is coming. In Psalms 132:11, it says, the Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. So in other words, the Lord has told David that I'm sitting on your throne. Plain and simple. And guess what David also said? The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Okay? And then the Bible goes ahead and reveals in the book of Psalms where the footstool is, guess what? It's the earth. So in other words, the Lord said to my Lord. That's what it says. That's literally what the word says. The Lord says to my Lord. Or I'll go ahead and say it in this way. The Father said to the Son, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Because you died on a cross. Because you were the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Because I looked through all heaven and earth and under the earth and everywhere else, and nobody was found worthy to open the seals, but the lamb of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to do it. Because you do that, I say to you, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That's the scripture, guys. That's the word. Okay? And it goes on in Psalm 72 again. It says, yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Well, guess what? Have the nations served Jesus yet? Nope. That points to a future time that it's going to happen. In Isaiah 9:7, the great Christmas verse, since Pastor brought up government, the great Christmas verse, Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with a justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, the increase of his government. That's what it says. When he came the first time as a baby in a manger, did he rule the government? Did he have a government? No, he did not have that. So it lets us know that there's a time coming to this planet where Jesus is going to have a government. Does that make sense? I know it's hard for us to understand that because we see him as the mediator in heaven right now. We see him as the lamb slain on the cross. We see him, like Pastor Walker said, we get to heaven, we get to see him, we get to touch his nail-scarred hands, we get to see his face. But guys, he's coming back as King of kings and Lord of lords to rule with a rod of iron on this planet. And that's just a part that just people don't talk about a lot. They just don't wrap their minds around it. But if we're going to talk about the Scripture, we can't leave it out.
Yeah. Jeffrey's wanting to say something too, and then I
Absolutely.
Think Z had a question. But I wanted to say too that, and I think everybody does this to a certain degree. I was watching Tombstone again today, and there's a part of that movie where he says Revelations, and I told Kyle, I said, it bugs me a little bit when people say Revelations, because it's not. It's revelation,
yeah.
And it's the revelation of Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, again, it's about one person. It's not about us. I can't say that enough. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
I was just going to add to what Pastor said earlier whenever he talked about how we're not going to be sitting by the water with our feet in the water and just hanging out, because... Mm-hmm. When my grandpa was dying, mm-hmm. the one thing that he saw that none of us could see,
sure.
he saw my grandma.
Mm-hmm.
I wholeheartedly believe, because he said, baby,
mm-hmm.
you have the job God wants you to have. So my grandma's not sitting up there hanging out waiting for us to get there. She's working for the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And when the time comes, when she gets her reward at the Bema, he's going to entrust her, because she was faithful on this planet to him. He now can trust her. He can't, listen, I don't care if you like him or not. Just because Trump is the president of the United States don't mean that he knows Jesus. And if he don't know Jesus, if his name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then he is no different than anybody else. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you get to go. If it's not, you don't get to go. It's that simple. I don't care if you like him or you don't like him, okay? That's irrelevant. But the point of the matter is this. Our names have to be on it. He can say something right now, and 1,000 people will rush to do it because of who he is, right? But guess what? Your grandmother couldn't get his attention. She didn't have that ability. Joanne Laffrey can't do that. But guess what? In that day, they will. Why? Because Jesus has entrusted them, because he now can trust them when they walk this earth. Brother Joe?
Well, the pastor said something a while ago, and I think we discussed this maybe a few years ago. We will be judges of those family and friends and
Ooh.
Neighbors and all that
Ooh.
That do not know the Lord.
Mm. Mm.
We will stand in judgment against them.
Well, and
we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Get him, Kelly.
But you'll have the mind of Christ. So, and I often use, you know, Johnny Walker. If he comes up there and he goes to hell, you know, because everybody says, well, there's going to be no tears in heaven. How do you, you know, people assume, and this is one of those assumptions again, and, you know, not to burst bubbles or whatever, but like they'll say, you won't know if one of your family members don't make it there, because there's no tears in heaven. And I'm thinking, I've never read that. I don't understand
right.
it that way.
Right.
I understand this. When I'm changed, I'll have the mind of Christ. And if anybody I know comes to judgment and they don't make it, I've got the mind of Christ to go, you know what? You could have made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're sitting in judgment now. You can't, if you're going to sit in judgment, you're going to understand mm-hmm. that they're getting judged and why.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me for Paul to say you're going to sit in judgment, and then you'd be sitting there going, oh, that, let's let him in, or blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like having, you know what I'm saying, having any other thought other than guilty, you're going to hell. Yeah. And I don't think people can grab that, but you'll have the mind of Christ. So, will you know if somebody ain't in heaven? I don't know, but I know this. If you do know, it's not going to bother you because you're going to have the mind of Christ to know judgment came and God done what was right, and it is what it is because he said it was.
And it's hard for us to grasp because down here we want to see everybody saved, and we understand that not everybody's going to go, and I understand that. But with our earthly mind, it's hard to us to grasp that we will stand in judgment against our brother, sister, mother, father, whatever. But they had the same opportunity we had.
And Pastor Walker said, about we're going to judge the angels. Just a mm-hmm. touch on that and not leave it out there hanging. Guys, there were some of them that fell, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Guess what? They're going to be judged too. And here's how I like to look at it this way. When I say it this way, this part right here is Teddy Dean's thought on it. This part right here is the word says we're going to judge angels. Okay, that's what the word says. Teddy Dean's thought on that is along these lines right here. The Bible says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord of the glory of the Father. That includes Satan. Mm-hmm. So on Judgment Day at the white throne, he's going to bow down before Jesus and he's going to confess him as Lord in front of God and everybody. And the fallen angels will too, okay? That being said, when the fallen angels look and go, he made me do it. Lucifer, he's the fault. He's the reason I couldn't do it. Tommy faced him, and he made it. Kelly faced him, and he made it. His presence is going to be a judgment against the angels. Her presence is going to be a judgment against the angels. How can you say I can't overcome him when they overcame? Mm-hmm. You could have overcome. You had the same access to Jesus as they do. You're beholding him.
That's the whole idea.
All excuse will be taken away.
The whole idea of the cloud of witnesses. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? That sort of we preach it or whatever, they're cheering you on or whatever. The fact of the matter is they're witnesses to say you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sitting with Christ in judgment, again, you're part of the jury there or part of the witness, really, that, you're, I hate to say it that way, but you're witnessing, testifying for what would that be, the prosecution. You see what I'm saying? They're being prosecuted by Christ, the lawyer, in a sense, saying, you know what I mean? And you're sitting in judgment against them, you're actually witnesses for the prosecution that it was possible to make heaven.
So once Jesus comes back and the temple is built, there'll be a temple built, a millennial temple built, as Ezekiel lays out. I'm not going to get a lot into that tonight because maybe a little bit, but time ain't going to let us. Let's go ahead and put it that way. Then there's going to be a certain way the earth is going to be run. How is that going to be? Okay, let's move past judgment. Let's move past who's living. Who's living? We know those that came through great tribulations and didn't take the mark are there, okay? We know that the church is there. Why? Because wherever Jesus is, there we shall be also, okay? The dead live not again until 1,000 years was up. Blessed is he that holy that hath part of the first resurrection, for the second death hath no power. What that means is, guess what? If you're one of the goats, the sheep and the goats, when he comes back in Matthew chapter 25, and he judges the sheep and the goats. The sheep are those that entrusted Israel good and didn't take the mark. They live on in the millennial. If you took the mark, sorry for you, but you're thrown to hell, okay? And you live not again until 1,000 years was up, okay? That's what it's talking about. And why will you live again after 1,000 years up? After 1,000 years, it's going to be the great white throne judgment. And they will stand before the Lord and bow their knee and profess Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, just like everybody else. But those that did not live again until 1,000 years are up, that's those that took the mark. In other words, they're not going to be on this planet, okay? Blessed and holy that he that hath part in the first resurrection, this one right here, because the second death, which is the lake of fire and brimstone, hath no power over them. That's what that's saying. So in other words, that is going to take place. So how's it going to be? What's it going to be like when Jesus is here for 1,000 years? The Bible says so. In Amos chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall." So in other words, The Bible literally lays it plain. Jesus is going to begin to reverse the curse. That's the way I like to say it. Reverse the curse. I remember growing up, up until, was it early 2000, Tara, became a little bit of a Boston Red Sox fan. Whatever. But when the Red Sox finally beat the Yankees, everybody remembers the curse of the Bambino. For you folks that don't know baseball, the Red Sox, way back in the 1919, whenever it was, they traded for, or the Red Sox gave the Yankees Babe Ruth. And after that, the Red Sox did not win a World Series title at all until about 2000 and something. And they called it the curse of the Bambino, okay? Well, guess what? When they finally won the World Series, they started saying, the curse has been reversed. So in other words, the curse that was placed on man, that was placed on the garden or on the earth, when Adam fell, one of them was weeds. Weeds. By the sweat of your brow is what he told them. By the sweat of your brow, Adam, you're going to raise fruits and vegetables. So in other words, I believe Adam was doing it all along. I believe Adam was in the garden still being a great gardener, Z. But I think it was very easy. Very, very easy. In other words, there wasn't no weeds to suck the nutrients from the soil. I truly believe then, and I believe in the millennial reign, I believe there'll be tomatoes the size of minivans. I'm telling you, it might be an over-exaggeration. Maybe you'll correct me when we get there. But you'll get my point. There's going to be watermelons that's going to be huge. There's going to be nothing to prohibit their growth. Okay? So what it's saying is, what he's saying literally, the reaper will overtake those that sow the seed. So in other words, it's going to grow so fast, they're going to be planting and they're going to have to come right behind them and just reap it. The harvest is ready. That's how it's going to be like when Jesus is on this planet during the millennial reign. Okay? Other things that will happen, it says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner being 100 years shall be accursed. So in other words, long life returns to man. And what I was telling Z and them right here, a lot of people don't understand this. Methuselah's record might get broke. I'm not saying it will, but it might get broke. He was 969 years old when he died. Okay? And what it's saying here is if you was 100 years old and died, they's going to say, boy, he was a youngin'. Boys, we look, with good health, we want to make it to 100 now, and we're not considered youngins, are we? I'm 48. Nobody calls me young no more. And I'm just 48. Tara was cutting my hair last night. I don't have to go to barber no more. It's a waste of money. No offense to barbers. But I know she don't cut that much off, and it's been a while. But she used to say, she'd say, Ted said, you remember how I used to always say that I could tell by the back of your head you still look like you was in high school. Sorry, Ted, you don't look that way no more. Gray hair has overtaken the brown ones. In other words, I'm nowhere near what I used to be when I was 18 years old, Herbie, okay? Our bodies get old. We decay. Our knees, our ankles, our backs, our elbows, every single thing. Herbie, I bet the work that you did with your dad growing up, I bet today's work that you've done today would have been nothing compared to what you did then. But today wore you out because you're not as young as you used to be. That's the thing. And what this is saying is, if someone was to die at 100 years old, it's going to be as if he was an infant. So long life returns to man, and let the sinner be accursed. So guess what that tells me, Vicki? There's still going to be sin in the millennial reign. People are still going to mess up, and they're still going to slip up. They're going to do things that's wrong. But the good thing about it is this. Because Jesus has placed people in spots, and because he's the King of kings and Lord of lords, sin will not go unpunished. It will be corrected right away. There will be no such thing as, well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Jesus knows you did. Okay? I'll get a good lawyer. He'll get me out of that. No, you won't. There won't be no millennials. There won't be no lawyers in the millennium. I'm going to tell you that. There ain't going to be no lawyers in the millennium. There ain't no lying going on in the millennium. Why? Because the one that's judging knows the truth. He is truth. You understand that? And if Z has been placed to judge that, she'll know truth because she has the mind of Christ. You're not getting away with that stuff. Sin will be dealt harshly. There'll be no war in the millennium. So guess what? There ain't no Tomahawk missiles going to be built. If somebody is a maker or manufacturer of military equipment, they're going to be out of work. There'll be not none of that in the millennium. Why? Because there'll be no war. The Bible says they beat their swords into plowshares. That's what it says. The Bible, or not the Bible, but the United Nations has a statue out in front of it that uses that quote out of the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, about them beating their swords into plowshares. That ain't going to happen until Jesus comes back. I got news for you. The United Nations is not going to bring world peace. There'll be no world peace until Jesus Christ comes back. I could promise you that. Anybody got any questions?
Who's the ones that were beheaded, and those are the ones that did not worship the beast and didn't do the image and all of that. So who were those, and then who are the ones that said, I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them? So who's the ones that sat upon them, and who are the ones that were beheaded and did all that?
Great question. Allows me to back up, Z. Thank you. I can get going on this, okay? I drove, me and Tara... Tara made me go to Walmart yesterday. Was it yesterday? I say made me go to Walmart. Yeah. She made me go to Walmart. And I asked her on the way down, I said, I need to ask you a question. And I said, tell me what's going to happen in the millennium. Being my wife, you know what I mean? She knows a little bit because she's heard me ramble on. Well, you know. I didn't mean it. Yes, she does. She absolutely knows more than just a little bit. But I wanted to get her point of view on questions that I needed to address. You understand what I'm saying? And she laid it out pretty good because she's heard me ramble on and she reads and studies herself. So, you know, all those things are good. So I love hearing questions like that because I can get going sometimes and I overlook something like that you just asked. But as what Z asked, those that do not take the mark are those that were beheaded. Those that did not take the mark and was beheaded during the tribulation period, they're going to be alive in the millennial. Those that lost their life because they would not take the mark of the beast, they're going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. They're going to die, and then he's going to bring them alive. But that's why it says, thank you, Z. That was just a great question. That's why it says in verse... Let me go back. It tells you how much notes I've got. Right here, verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So in other words, okay, if you died in the tribulation period but took the mark, and that'll happen, you could get wiped out by a meteorite. You could be killed in war. You could starve to death. You could die of malnutrition. You're not going to live in a millennium. You ain't going to. But if you died for the cause of Christ, you did not take the mark, then you will be resurrected and you will reign with Jesus. That's what it's saying. Literally says, as you read it, and I saw thrones and they sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. That's the church. Those that are with Christ in heaven and have received the Bema, they're going to judge, or they're there on the thrones. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and had not worshipped the beast nor the image, okay? So in other words, neither had received his mark on the forehead. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that lets us know they have to be resurrected. They're living and reigning with him. Okay? But the rest of the dead, verse 5, lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So if you die in year 6 in the tribulation period with the mark of the beast on you, you go to hell. You go to hell. If year 6 you took the mark of the beast and you died in battle or whatever it was, you know, whatever it is, year 6, you're in hell. Well, Jesus comes back in the 7th year, right? You've been in hell for a year. You're going to be in your hell for a year and 1,001 years until the white throne judgment. You're going to stay there. The only people that get to come out of there are those that were martyred, that were beheaded, that lost their lives for the word of Jesus Christ. Those are the only ones. Herbie?
So what happens to them people after the 1,000 years?
After the 1,000 years are up, then those are the ones, I'm glad you asked that. Great question. Those people are still in human bodies, folks. The Bible doesn't say they're changed or anything. At the rapture, we're going to be changed. In the moment of the twinkling of the eye, we're going to have a glorified body. Amen? Okay. Then the Bible lets us know plainly. Jesus tells us when they asked him the question and tried to trick him. Okay. This woman here or this man, whatever it was, she had two husbands. Whose wife is she going to be up there? And Jesus said, they're like the angels. There'll be no giving in marriage. There's no male or female in that way. So in other words, you and I, once we've been raptured, we're not going to reproduce and have children no more. That's not hard to understand. I don't believe it is. But those that live on in the millennial reign, that survived, that did not die, that were not beheaded, they made it through. They did not take the mark of the beast. They survived. Believe it or not, people are going to survive. Okay? That's what it's saying. Well, guess what? They are going to be in human nature. What humans do? They reproduce. That don't stop. They're going to have children. Children are going to be born during the millennial reign of Christ. The earth is going to be repopulated once again with humans. God don't have no grandchildren, just children. Paige?
Thousand years. But what happens after the white throne judgment? Do they continue to live as humans and have babies, or?
Let us get there. It's a great question. Don't let me not get there, okay? Let me finish this point right here. As Herbie was saying, it's a great question. So you got people being born, guys, 1,000 years. Can you think what's happened in the last 1,000 years on this planet? Okay, I've done a little bit of research this week. 1,000 years ago, you know what the estimation of what the population was on Earth? 1,000 years ago? 300 million. 300 million. You know how many there are now? 8.2 billion. In 1,000 years, the population of Earth went from 300 million to 8.2 billion in 1,000 years. Okay? So that only stands to reason. I don't know how many people there are going to be that survives at Z, whether there's 150,000 in human form, whether there's 1 million. I got no idea how many. But that number can explode in 1,000 years. Life is going to go on with those people other than the fact, as we said, it's beautiful. Lamb laying down with a lion, as Pastor said, there's going to be perfect harmony, all those things that's going on. People's going to be reproducing. The church, we're ruling and reigning with Him. We're in glorified bodies. That does not change for us. But what is hard for people to understand is that humans are living alongside of people in glorified bodies. That's what's happening. Why? Because Jesus is ruling and reigning over this planet. And those people are going to have children. And the reason I say God don't have no grandchildren, only children, in 1,000 years, how many great-grandkids can you have? A lot. Okay? But now here's the thing. It's what we was talking about before church started. I told Tara as we drove to Walmart, let me ask you a question. I said, me and you remember 9/11 pretty vivid, don't we? Absolutely. Does Jake and Maddie know it as good as we do? Nope. Does Luke even know about it? Nope. I remember it very well. If you were a soldier that came through Auschwitz and rescued the Jews from the gas chamber, nobody's going to tell you the Holocaust wasn't real. You were there. I didn't see that. I believe it because I believe truth. In 100 years, those people may think that's just nothing but an old fairy tale story. That's basic human nature. Those people that came through the tribulation, they're going to remember. I lean toward those people are going to be hard to fool. You understand? Those people are going to be hard to fool. They remember being hungry. They remember being hunted. They remember being persecuted. It's going to be hard for the adversary to flip them. But for their great, 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 great grandchild, Mama don't know what she's talking about. Papa don't know what she's talking about. Why do we have to go up to Jerusalem? Why do we got to go up to Jerusalem once a year for the Feast of the Tabernacles? Why do we got to do that? This guy's full of himself. That's why.
It could even be that they necessarily don't try to convince them that it didn't happen, but why things are the way they are. Mm-hmm. Just like now, when, so many years removed from the Holocaust, and you've got people who still are against the Jewish people.
Sure.
And it's because they have a different idea about the Jewish people, and they believe propaganda and stuff like that about what Jews do and all this stuff, you know, the Israelites. And so it could be that in the millennial reign, an uprising has had and a rebellion has had because they have been sort of, the information's been twisted down through the years to, you know, as to he's ruling and reigning, but here, you know what I mean, twisting out why he is ruling and reigning and all that. Like you said, in the beginning, everybody's going to understand who he is and what's going on. But as it goes, they can twist the narrative there to say this guy's a, and he's ruling with a rod of iron, so it ain't going to be hard for a generation to go, well, why are we having to do this? Mm-hmm. Let's rebel against him. But what they're actually going to be removed from at that point is his authority and power. There's not going to be anybody alive to remember how he came into authority the first time.
Sure.
So they think they can challenge him, but they're going to find out that they're not, which sort of answers Paige's question, I think, there about.
And to work my way toward hers because of lack of time, Isaiah 2:2-4 says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. He's going to rebuke some people. That means they're not walking like they're supposed to walk. During the millennial reign, there are some people that are going to be rebuked, okay? Plain and simple. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So that rebuking people is the point, that people that are in earthly bodies are still going to be prone to sin. But it's going to be dealt with swiftly. Then, after that 1,000 years is up, to get to Paige's thing, because of the lack of time, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed for a season, the Bible says, and he goes forth to gather the nations from the four winds of the planet, from the four winds of the earth. So in other words, from everywhere. It's not just a small band of people. Ain't that so sad, folks, that people are going to be alive and see Jesus in Jerusalem. They're going to witness him. They're going to witness all the prosperity and the love. And can you imagine true peace on earth? Not Miss America peace. True peace. Can you imagine having true peace and perfect prosperity? No war. All those things. And Satan is released after 1,000 years. And he's able to gather people from all over the planet to rebel against Jesus. That's what happens, folks. That's what happens. And the Bible says, later on in that chapter, page to get to where we're talking about, it says, as they will come upon the camp of the saints. That's what it says. They will come upon the camp of the saints, and fire will come out of God out of heaven and devour them. That's what it says, okay? That's what happens. Those people are dealt with swiftly. And then the great white throne judgment happens. And death and hell give up her dead to be judged. Everybody will stand before the Lord. People that are in hell now, the rich man that is in hell right now will be judged at the great white throne judgment. If someone dies right now not knowing Jesus, they'll be in hell until the great white throne judgment. And then hell will give up her dead to be judged. Why? Because every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And after that point, plain and simple, after the white throne judgment, then they will be cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the end of all ends. At that point, when they're there, we are with the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem, comes the city of gold, the crystal sea, all of those things happen after the white throne judgment. When God's people are all together, there's no sin, it's done been dealt with. The sinners are now in the lake of fire. Satan's there. The false prophet's there. The Antichrist is there. All of those people are now in the lake of fire. The hell that we know now is not the final destination. The lake of fire is, according to the book of Revelation. Is that what you was going to ask?
Yeah, I was going to state that those different, the
yes,
hell
it
and
is.
Lake of fire.
Yes, it is. Jeff?
So, to go off Paige's question, only because I didn't hear the answer in there, those that are through the tribulation that were human, that did not take the mark, that God would consider to be His people.
Yes.
Once they're judged, mm-hmm. in the new earth, they're still going to be alive like human people.
Yes.
Along with our heavenly
yes.
bodies. So they're still going to be normal people just walking
sure.
around.
Sure. Absolutely. But now, if they don't sin and they don't go against the Lord, then they will eventually be like the rest of us in the new. Absolutely. It would absolutely, yes. Yes, they absolutely will. Their flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so those people will eventually, absolutely, just like the 144,000 and the two witnesses get raptured at a different time in the book of Revelation, okay, God's able to do those things. Absolutely. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Any more questions? Okay. Folks, I want to thank each of you for coming this summer, really, this last 5 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it was. Oh, you got something, Josh? Okay, hold on, folks. We got another question.
Let's see. There we go.
You got it.
Growing up, I've been to different churches.
Thank you. Glad this one's coming.
What you're saying about the hell and everything will be open, the books will be opened back up.
Yes.
I've heard different people say that the ones in hell will be judged by their works and stuff. And they said that some of them will get out of hell and go be with Jesus after they're judged out of hell. Hmm. Like, say, if they was, yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. At the White Throne Judgment, we're talking about, the Bible said the books are opened and the Book of Life. Bible says that in the book of Revelation. The books are open and the book of life. So I do believe they'll be judged. They'll give account for what they've done. Mm-hmm. In other words, the times they rejected Jesus.
Yeah, I've heard some people preach that. I'm like, no, I don't.
Whoa, no, no, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, that's what I was like, yeah. People, that's not right. It's not what
here's,
it says.
Yeah, and here's the big thing. You don't want to be at the White Throne Judgment. Okay, you don't want to be at the White Throne Judgment, period. You don't want to be there, okay, as far as standing in judgment. You don't want to be judged at the White Throne Judgment, okay? What I'm saying is, hell, literally, if you're in hell right now, okay, according to Scripture, if you're in hell right now, you will remain there until the White Throne Judgment. Whether you was the rich man that died thousands of years ago, or JoJo that died last week, you will be there until the White Throne Judgment, and then at the White Throne Judgment, you'll be judged and cast alive into the lake of fire, which is the second death. That is what the book of Revelation says. Where a tree falls, there it's going to lie. Amen?
I don't know.
Anybody else? Herbie?
So when is it that Christians are judged? Like, ain't that the great white judgment?
Nope, that's the Bema, which is... the one part I didn't go over for time's sake, which is right before the Battle of Armageddon, is the marriage supper and the Bema, which is the judgment seat of Christ, for all must stand and give account, and then that's when you'll get your rewards. And
that's
stuff.
For rewards more so yeah. than, and I think people don't understand that.
That's a judgment for Christians.
Yeah, it's a saints. Rewards. It's Rapture. Not a, well, you didn't do this and that and all that. And I think some people don't understand that, and maybe some of them in here maybe see that different. I don't know. But, like, when you stand, if you're born again and you stand in the Bema, that's all about works. You're not going to answer for things, because you can't answer for things if you're not guilty. You're either saved or not.
Right.
So, like, people worry about, well, I'll have to answer for this, or you'll answer forever out of word. You know, you hear that kind of stuff. And I'm like, no, if you answer for one, you're going to answer for all. Yep. You know what I mean? If you have to answer for one, you're not in the Bema. You're in the great white throne judgment. Your works is going to be tried. The Bible actually says your works are going to be tried by fire. And what was built on the foundation of Christ, it's going to remain, and that's what you're going to get a judgment from. But if you've done it for any other reason, that's the judgment part of that is what you've done, why did you do it? So if you just do it out of, well, I done it, you know, sort of like Pilate, I wash my hands of it or whatever, like, or if you do it for vindictive reasons or whatever, you're going to lose that reward. You don't lose your soul like some of the people maybe on television that are greedy now and like they started out for the right reasons, but now they do it for the wrong reasons. I thoroughly believe that they could be saved, believe it or not. But their works are going to be tried by fire, and if they've done it for any other reason, they've got paid for it one time, and that's down here. They're not going to get paid for it again up there, so to speak. You know what I mean? So your works are going to be tried there,
hay and stubble.
And that's
hay and
the judgment.
Stubble. It'll burn up in the fire.
Yep.
Hay and stubble. Herbie?
So, like, you know the play where they show people going to heaven and hell?
Oh, the heaven-hell
so
play,
that,
yes.
The
yes.
Judgment ain't going to go like that, right? Like us getting
no.
judged, everybody
no.
being accountable all at the same
no,
time.
No, no, no. That's a good play that really, and I don't put, I've been to good, very good heaven or hell plays before. I'm not dogging anybody for having a heaven or hell play. I've seen people saved at heaven or hell plays. It's a good visual for a lost person to see that there is a day of judgment coming.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Day, like,
but no,
guy,
yeah.
Always had to go to hell, and I don't. I'm serious, didn't I, Kelly? I always went to hell, and I knew early in my life they were trying to scare me into going to the altar because I never would get saved. And then after I got saved, they said, "We're going to put you in the heaven hell play, and you're going to be a preacher, and Kelly's going to be your wife, and I think Emily, at least Emily was born, wasn't she? And they're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell." And I'm like, "Are you kidding? You know what I mean? Like all these years I've been." Thrown into hell, and I get saved, and I think they'll let me go to heaven this year. No, go to hell. And the thing is, and it's to illustrate a point that they get to go and I don't. And so you're supposed to pitch a fit and all that. You know what I mean? And like, no, no, no. And you know, and like they wanted me to be the guy that done this and done that. You know, worked for the Lord and done this and done that, but I still didn't get to go in. And all of that is just. For illustrative purposes. Like, there's not going to be somebody make it and somebody don't. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to have a case to plead. In my humble opinion, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to hang your head and take your punishment because you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all of us that stand there. So, that you know, how they say they plead and give excuses and all that, you're going to know. And you're going to just hang your head and you're going to go to hell because you understand and you know. There's no pleading the case and all that stuff like the plays say. But it is good to scare people
to
death.
It's a good visual.
Yeah.
It's a good visual. I think it's just a visual to people realize there's judgment coming. You're going to have to answer for it. That's what I think it's primarily for. And I don't put nothing, no church again it for doing it at all. Josh?
Like it says nations a lot throughout, like there in the first five verses,
uh-huh.
And then a lot of what you read with like the Old Testament kept saying nations. So that once a year when everybody comes up to Jerusalem, are you going to have people coming from like America and Australia?
Thank you so much. Time has really restrained us. I didn't get to get into Zechariah too much. Go home and read the book of Zechariah chapter 14. Okay, go read Zechariah chapter 14. Thank you very much for asking that. The Bible talks about that the nations will come up to Jerusalem, will be required to come up to Jerusalem once a year during the Feast of Tabernacles. They'll be required to. The nations, that's what it says. So in other words, his government that's set up, me and Tara was talking about this just today, how will it be? I got no idea how the human government will be. It'll be under Christ. It'll be Christ's system. But I tend to believe myself that if you speak English, you're probably going to be congregated among a bunch of English speakers. Tower of Babel ain't been done away with just yet, folks. If you speak Chinese, you're probably not going to be with a bunch of Spanish people because you can't understand them and they can't understand you. So the nation, so to speak, that we're talking of, people are going to still congregate in like-minded groups of humans, if that makes any sense. And they'll be required by law of Jesus to come up to Jerusalem once a year for the Feast of Tabernacles. And if they do not do this, the Bible says their nation will not receive rain. Period. And if Egypt does not come up, it mentions Egypt specifically, then Egypt won't get no rain. So in other words, that tells me there is rebellion in people's hearts. For them to say, there's a warning, if you don't come up, there's no rain, then that means you're honoring not to go up. For the Bible to have to warn you of that. Sure, absolutely. Herbie?
Just wondering, is everybody in heaven going to be able to understand each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What language we speak?
Absolutely. I'm going to be honest with you. I got a guess, but I ain't going to say it. I got a guess. But we're going to understand it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good question, though. Does that make sense, Josh? Absolutely. Anybody else got questions? Z?
Will that be the government of Egypt or the government of these nations, or will it be the people?
See, that's why I think this is so hard for people to understand. How in the world does heaven coexist with earth? That's our hardest part to understand, that Jesus is literally going to rule in human form in Jerusalem, okay? The Bible talks about it being at the millennial temple, okay? There will be a new temple. It actually goes so much in depth that talking about the holiness of the Lord that's written upon the ornaments and stuff of that nature, okay? It goes very in specific things. But there will be nations that will be under Christ, meaning there is no U.S. Constitution no more. There is no Constitution of Russia. There is no Constitution of Egypt. They take their orders from the Lamb, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They got to do what He sets forth to do. And guess what? They won't be an elected official. There won't be an elected official. Those people won't be over themselves. Why would He put those people over themselves? He can't make them ruler over many. They wasn't faithful over a few things. What do you think our jobs is going to be? The church, the Christians at the Bema, you're going to be given a responsibility to serve and rule and reign with Jesus. So in other words, I don't know who's going to be over Egypt, but there's going to be some people that Jesus trusts, okay? But there's going to be fragments of humans that are rebellious. And if they don't do this, then they're warned there'll be no rain. It's just that simple. In the book of Zechariah, it says it. Which the big thing I take from that is, even though they see Jesus, they're living in the land of plenty, just come from hell on earth where there wasn't much food and a mark of the beast, and their grandpa tells them about it and all of a sudden, they're still going to want to rebel against God. Think about that. And for people to say, I just don't believe that, guess what? Adam and Eve did it. Adam and Eve did it, Pastor.
They gom it up.
They gom it up.
That's the reason for the millennial, you know what I mean? They're going to gom it up. And I think to Z's point there, one reason that it's hard, what you were talking about, like them people grabbing the fact that Christ is ruling and reigning here, is because we get this idea of Christ being in heaven, and like we believe all the videos or, you know, pictures or whatever. But don't forget, Jesus actually ate with his disciples.
Yes, he did. After he's resurrected.
He was somebody that could be touched. He walked with some guys from Emmaus.
Yep.
And they didn't even know that he had, you know what I mean, been resurrected.
Yep.
I think we miss that too, is it's going to be like this.
Yes.
You're not an angel floating around.
That's
like
right.
Some people make
apparition
you
or whatever.
Believe.
Yeah.
Right. It's you're actually something right. I mean, there's going to be, you know, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get to eat the whole nine yards. It's going to be like this, but in a body that don't decay.
Yep. Amen. Anybody else? Go ahead, Josh.
I hope we don't gain weight.
To follow my question a while ago, how to put it in words? The backslider, ones that was there on this earth, was saved, but slowly something got them, kicked them out of church or something like that, and they ended up going to hell. But after the books are opened, will they be judged by their works, or Once in grace and always in grace, probably.
Kind of. Oh, okay.
And like I said, I've been around some churches.
I absolutely do not believe that.
I don't
I'll flat out tell you that.
I don't know either, but I've been around people that says
if you're in hell, it's the reason I said the rich man Lazarus. Rich man's in hell, Lazarus made it to heaven. The rich man longed for Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch his tongue because he was tormented in this flame. Remember, that's that right there. That rich man is in hell right now. People think that's just a story or a parable. That's not a parable. That rich man is in hell right now, and Jesus talked about him being in hell when he was on the earth. He's still in hell, and he's going to be in hell until the great white throne judgment. Okay? And in that point, he'll be judged with everybody else that is lost. As far as getting to the point, do I believe you can backslide? I absolutely believe you can backslide. I'm going to tell you where I get that from. Angels did it. An entire nation called Israel did it. They didn't make the promised land, did they? They didn't do it. I've seen Christians do it. I did it. I absolutely believe you can backslide. The Lord, nobody can pluck you out of his hand. Nobody. The Bible makes that plain. Nobody can pluck you out of his hand. But you know what? You can make a choice to leave him. That's how I firmly believe. And I believe the Bible backs that up. Pastor, Jeff.
Well, Exodus 32:33, the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book.
Right.
And so I feel like your name's in there, but you get blotted out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Now, I'll be honest with you, just open a big old can of worms here.
At the end, you do it, huh? At the very end, you do it.
I don't believe in the once in grace, always in grace, the way that it's presented or said a lot of times and the way that people come across it, to where, well, you get saved, baptized, you can do anything you want to do and all that stuff. But I'll tell you this, I am probably a once in grace, always in grace individual in that if you've really had the encounter with Jesus, I don't know, just like Ted backslid, but then come back to the Lord. Like, I don't know how you live this life and die. Like, I have a hard time understanding how people do that and leave this world and don't return to the Lord. Like, I think it's going to be very few, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, I believe that it happens. But I don't believe it happens as easy or as often as what people think at all, because the Lord loves us a lot, and he'll do a lot of things to get our attention. And so, I don't want to open that kind of worms,
but
I think it's the blood's thicker than a lot of people understand and know, is what I say.
And according to the what he said there about the name being blotted out, I personally believe myself, because the Bible never says your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It does not say that. It can be blotted out. The Bible says that. So here's, and I say it too, unless your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, it's just it's a thing we say, I guess you could say. But I believe when every human that has ever been conceived, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that. Where do I believe that? Why do I believe that? Little children that die go to heaven. Nobody going to tell me a 3-year-old didn't go to heaven if they died of childhood cancer or something like that. Nobody going to tell me that. The only way you're going to make it to heaven, Vicky, is your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there comes to be a time, period, that you have a choice, the age of accountability, whether you accept or reject Jesus as your Savior. And when you reject him, I believe your name is blotted out. That's what I believe. Is that a sign? Is that a sign?
That's a Mike Pollard issue right there. I believe too. Now, what Ted just said, I'm going to say something else here, and I hope this hit you like it hit me when I understood it. When the Bible teaches and instructs us that Christ died for everyone, that's what it means. See what I'm saying? Like, long before you were born, Christ
Amen.
Died for you.
Amen.
And your name went into the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Now it's up to you to get it blotted out.
Amen.
Does that make sense? That's the reason if you're 3 months old and you don't live, you get to go to heaven because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because Christ died for everyone.
Yeah. Babies that were stillborn or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
But you can get blotted out of the Lamb's Book. And I don't think people connect those two things.
Pearl, you got something?
With what you were saying, if, in fact, our names are blotted out, if we backslide when we come back like the prodigal, then what? Our name gets put back into the book?
Well, I won't say no. I won't say, go ahead. You got something?
Because you're not saved again. Yeah, you come back to him.
Yeah.
You know, you're only saved once. You're reborn once, only once.
Absolutely.
So let me say this. Does God know the end from the beginning? So what if you backslide, but he understands what's going to happen over here? He doesn't blot your name out because he knows the end from the beginning.
Right. I know. Sure.
So he never blotted your name out.
But if you would have died at that moment, where do you think you would have went?
Well, at that time, I would have gone.
Me too. That's the reason I say that. I feel the same way. Sure. I understand what you're saying. Sure. Sure.
I see.
Absolutely.
This is what. And this may be different than anybody else in here, and that's okay. That is what I'm talking about, it being thicker than you know. If you'd have died in that state and you had the thought that you weren't going to make it, I would tell you this, it wasn't your backslid state that would have sent you to hell. It would have been your lack of faith. Now, that's the way I see it. And I know that's deeper than most people want to think or understand it, but it's the truth. Yeah, and it's the if the Lord knows the end from the beginning and you backslide, but he knows the end here, he doesn't have to blot your name out then put it back in. He just doesn't blot your name out. There you go. That's my take on it.
Anyone else? We don't dodge bullets here. We just take them one at a time. Anybody else got a question? No more questions. Okay, listen, here's what I want you to do, okay? This has been the quietest, but yet the most interactive one. Twofold, which is great, which tells me it's a topic that's misunderstood. People want more information about all those things. So if you have a question that did not get asked tonight, or maybe tomorrow you could think of one or whatever, send me a personal question. Message, okay? I know it's hard to cover everything in one evening, so I'm sure there's still many questions you might have, okay? That being said, send a message, no problem whatsoever. We'll take them one at a time. I'll talk to you one-on-one when we see next time, whatever you want. It's all good, okay? There's no good questions, no bad questions. It's only a bad one if you don't answer it or if you don't ask it, okay? So, I want to thank everybody for coming. Thank everybody for supporting the Summer Prophecy. Okay? We want you to be ready for VBS coming up next week, Lord willing. Okay? All hands on deck for that. And the Wednesday after that, we want you to come back, and we're going to start something totally different, okay? But I really believe you're going to enjoy it, and it's going to help you grow in the Lord most of all.
Where is an adult class for VBS?